Live from the Next Title Studio, this is News Talk 670 KBOI. If you're talking about it,
they're getting nervous, and they should be nervous.
You know, I kind of disagree with what you're saying.
We're talking about it.
You know, I think it's kind of great that you guys have that duality.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Chris Walton and Paul J. Schneider on the News and Talk of Idaho, 670 KBOI.
All right, we are back. KBOI News Time, 8:39. Special guest in the Next Title studio this morning, Canyon County Commissioner Steve Rule. And Steve, sometimes those of us here in Ada County think everything ends at the border between Ada and Canyon County. But the same flood problems that we're having here in Ada County do continue when the Boise River flows on into Canyon County, right?
Absolutely. We're experiencing many of the same things going on the western side of Ada County, all through our county, from the edge of Star clear through Parma to the river. There's flood issues. And in kind of preparation to deal with that, we've already had a couple instances where we've had dikes that were actually failing, and irrigation districts and private contractors rallied and stopped disaster. And so we've went ahead and declared a local flood flood disaster emergency for Canyon County. And what this does is gets everything prepped and ready to handle any emergencies that come up, as far as the authority to go in, get it done, work with the Army Corps of Engineers. They know what's going on. And the people, if we need help, a lot of times the equipment isn't immediately available, and private contractors can come in and save the day. They can get paid this way in an authorized fashion. The irrigation districts, the highway districts, they're all included. It's a way to prepare for a problem.
So it doesn't necessarily mean you're in full-fledged disaster mode.
That's absolutely right. We're just in a preparatory state in case it gets worse. And depending on the weather, it could get worse. It's pretty high right now.
Yeah, a lot of us don't like this cool weather, but it's really kind of saving our bacon.
Yes.
Because if it warms up to 75, 80 degrees, that snow is going to come melting down into the rivers. It's going to be a mess.
Yeah. The Army Corps of Engineers doing a good job getting started early.
And you're working with those guys, right?
That's right. Yeah, that's right. Keeping reservoirs down as low as they can, so if it does warm up, they can field some of this runoff. But it can only go so well.
Now, I understand also that you want to remind citizens that when they see flooding and things like that, that they are the first reporter on the scene.
That's right. You know, we're in Canyon County, Idaho. Don't wait for the government to save you. If you see problems, get a hold of, you can go to a website, or better yet, go to the Canyon County website, or call 454-7531 and report it with you. And they'll hook you up immediately with Dave Shoresman, our emergency management coordinator, is doing a heck of a job. Really appreciate that. But you prepare yourself as best you can, and you'll be money and damage ahead in the long run.
One of the things that's really kind of saving Canyon County, you don't have as many homes, businesses, whatever, built in the floodplain as they do here in Ada County.
That's right. There's been some concentrated effort to try and limit that as best we can. Now, it happens, and there are ways that you can mitigate the effects of high water and get a home closer to the river. It's not as easy as it was 10, 15 years ago. But Ada County, 400,000 people are crowding the river. You know, 200,000 in Canyon County, bigger, more room. We've got a little bit more room to develop, and it's just worked out that way. There are still homes in both counties in jeopardy.
You have either are going to have or have had a change in the public defender's office, correct?
That's right. Just yesterday, Tara Harden came to the commissioners and said that she has taken a job up in her home where she grew up, home territory. She's going up to take a position as a judge up there, kind of going back to her family roots. And I hate to lose Tara. She was a tremendous talent, raised the bar at Canyon County. In fact, really set the standard for what public defenders should be doing in Idaho, kept us out of ACLU focus. been there, done that.
Oh, yeah.
That's a bad plan. So we're going to miss Tara. But on the other hand, you know, I wish her the very best and the most happiness in her life up there.
Yeah. And sometimes you just never notice when the bad ones leave.
Only when the good ones
leave. Only when the good ones
yeah,
leave.
Tara's a good one.
Yeah. KBOI News Time is 8:45.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Paul Jay and Chris. More local talk with Nate Shellman is live this afternoon at 3 on 670 KBOI.
KBOI News Time, it's 8:50. Idaho Talks Live. Our special guest in studio is Canyon County Commissioner Steve Rule. And you're going to have some polling place changes in Canyon County. Quite a few, I guess.
Yes, there are several. The main thing is everyone that voted at the Nampa Civic Center, the Civic Center, for whatever reason, needed to raise their rates. So we've the clerk in his election office very prudently went and found the Nampa Library and West Middle School to vote at. So precinct number 16 will be at the Nampa Public Library, and precinct number 56 will now be at the West Middle School instead of the Nampa Civic Center.
Does the county actually have to pay rent to some of the places?
Yes, almost every place.
Oh, really?
I think there are a few that let us vote there, but you know, they have to be ADA handicap accessible now. Mm-hmm. You saw that was an issue last year, so they're addressing that or have addressed that, and we're about through with that. And so there's a couple other precincts. Number 32 polling place has been moved to Valley View Middle School from the Valley View Lions Club, and 28 is now at the New Horizons Elementary School rather than Southside Methodist Church. All this stuff's going to be hard to remember, so go to when it's time. The information's posted on the county website, www.canyonco.org, or you can call the elections office, and they'll help you as well.
So you've got a big spring cleanup day on April 22nd.
Lots of people utilize this. Everybody likes to save a few bucks, and you're going to take it out there anyway. You can take up to 1 ton of residential garbage and 4 tires per vehicle, so you don't need to dump them along the roads of Ada County.
Which is what most of them have anyway. That's
don't
great.
Drive out in the country and lob them off the back of your truck.
Yeah, I saw that on one of your broadcasts not too long ago. Mm-hmm. So it's a great program. Utilize it. The date is April 22nd.
Earth Day,
a Saturday.
Right?
Yeah. Earth Day,
yeah,
exactly. That's appropriate.
You can get rid of a refrigerator, too.
Yes, you can.
I like it.
Yep.
And let's see, April is Child Abuse Prevention and Awareness Month, and you're going to have, I guess on that same day as Earth Day, you're going to have an event.
That's right. We encourage everybody that would like to support it or looking for a nice walk exercise for a great purpose. If you'll meet at the, where are they starting at? The Caldwell Police Department's where they're starting at 3 p.m. So meet at the Caldwell Police Department at 3 p.m. And then you'll participate in a march down to Justice Park. That's that park right across from the Canyon County Courthouse. Everybody that wants one will get a blue pinwheel.
Yeah.
And we encourage everybody to dress in blue or dress up in your favorite superhero costume. It ought to be fun. It is fun. This is not something they're starting this year. It's been done in the past and lots of support. The good amenity is there's hot dogs and drinks and snacks available at the park after the march. So a worthwhile project.
Now, these pinwheels, I guess what they do is that they sort of just plant them or stick them into the courthouse lawn, and they stay there for a while.
Yeah, we let them sit out there for a week, two, three, whatever's appropriate, till the wind starts blowing them around or some inmate lawnmower has an accident with one. And we really kind of dress up the courthouse for a while there with those pinwheels. It looks neat.
Yeah, it does look neat. There are some of them that are spread around already and looking pretty good. What else is happening in Canyon County? What are you looking forward to through the rest of the year?
Well, there's budget season is starting right now.
Budget season.
And, I, you bring that up looking forward to it. It's the time of year when I think commissioners earn some of their very hardest dollars is working through the budget, trying to get each department and each elected official's department taken care of so that they can make good progress the next year. Nobody likes taxes to go up. I do not like property taxes and as a very conservative commissioner. I like use taxes. If we're going to have to tax, that's the way I like to play the game. But, boy, the property values, you know, I came 10 years ago right when the property values dropped, and we had to cut off about $25 million off of our budget. Well, since then, we've built it back up now, and property – when I say we built it back up, property values raised. Yeah. We laid off dozens of people. Well, the county meantime has grown from 180 when I came to 207 or so right now. 27,000 people affect a 200,000 populous county. So we're dealing with that growth. I think that will probably be the main thrust here in the next little while.
When you guys are making the budget, do you kind of make a list of priorities and try to put some things at the top? And along with that question, I'll ask you, what's easier, giving the money to the stuff that gets it every year or trying to decide something new?
Oh, boy. That's a really fair question. Each instance is different in my case. The list develops naturally from the departments and the needs, the things that were ignored last year that are more of a problem this year.
Sure.
Some of the departments do a great job getting grants. You know, that's another thing I should mention. Tom Bicek, the parks director for close to 30 years there, is a grant genius. he has built park and amenity after amenity, helped other people with grants. He announced his retirement. And Nikki Schwind, we had our last director's report from him. And he's just an A-plus genius type guy that's helped Canyon County for decades. I really hate to see Tom go. Again, wish him a wonderful, happy retirement. But, you know, the legacy he leaves behind at Celebration Park, particularly, let alone Jubilee Park, and other Canyon County parks, as well as helping Middleton's library, historical efforts, lots of stuff. So,
Commissioner
Rule,
we
got a lot going on.
We thank you for your visit this morning on KBOI.
Thank you very much.
If you're talking about it,
they're getting nervous, and they should be nervous.
You know, I kind of disagree with what you're saying.
We're talking about it.
You know, I think it's kind of great that you guys have that duality.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Chris Walton and Paul J. Schneider on the News and Talk of Idaho, 6-7 KBOI.
Top of the morning, Paul J. and Chris, special guest on the next Idaho Hotline this morning is... First District Congressman Raul Labrador of Idaho. Raul, good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing?
We're doing well. How are you?
I am doing very well. Great to be in Idaho.
So you're back here. You're going to have a bunch of town hall meetings, or a couple of them. What do you hope to get done? And some people who've had these town hall meetings have noticed a lot of active participation.
I expect active participation, but I have experienced in the past that the people of Idaho are very good people. You know, even the people who disagree with me are usually kind, and you know, I'll get some boos, I'll get some jeers, but we'll also have fun. I enjoy doing town halls. I enjoy talking to the public. I enjoy especially talking to people who disagree with me, because when you have a town hall format, you have an opportunity to actually give a full answer to a question and to have a discussion with people. So I expect it to be very positive.
You've got one scheduled for the 19th in Meridian and the 24th in Nampa, both in the Treasure Valley. Will you have any other town halls in other parts of the state?
Oh, yeah. We do town halls all the time. That was the funny thing about, you know, the media stuff a month or two ago. I do town halls all the time. Mm-hmm. I just don't do town halls when people demand that I do a town hall. You know, I'm not out there. You know, I'm the one who schedules the town halls. Right. I don't let the media schedule them for me. And I just thought it was ridiculous, you know, that the Idaho Statesman and other people were forcing me to do a town hall when I you know, that a study just came out, and I was in the top 50 of people who do town halls in Congress. Think about that.
Mm-hmm.
Out of 535 members of Congress, I was in the top 50.
Not bad.
Mike Crapo was in the top 10, and the Idaho Statesman and other media outlets had the gall to call us out on not doing town halls. Now, I just thought that was ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, like you said, you know, not when people demand, but when you think they need to happen.
Exactly.
Last week, of course, what happened in Syria, we all know about that. And the morning after the strike, I think you suggested, and we're one of the first ones to do so, that perhaps Congress should get to vote on what we do next in Syria. Why is that?
Because the Constitution's really clear. It's the Congress that decides whether we're going to engage in war or not, and it's the president that decides how to engage in that war. And, you know, the strike last week was limited. You know, I had some concerns about it, but I understood what the president was doing. I understood he was just trying to send a signal to Syria. But if we're going to have any further engagements in Syria, we need to make sure that we come to Congress and that he presents to us a plan, that he presents to us the evidence of why we need to be engaging in Syria. I saw yesterday where the president said that he has no plans to go into Syria, and that was good to hear from the president. We just need to make sure that we don't just have a haphazard strategy towards Syria.
Should he have checked with you before the strike?
I think it would have been better if he had checked with us. You know, the has some limited capabilities of doing things on the War Powers Act.
Mm-hmm.
and other types of you know, of legislation. But, you know, I'm okay with what happened last week, even though I still think he should have come to Congress and engaged us. But if he's going to do anything further, I think we need to have a serious discussion. You need to think about the reality of what happens in these Middle Eastern countries. It might make, you know, the audience, you know, your listeners feel really good that we did this strike, and some people disagree with me who are listening to me right now disagree with my position. But the reality is that we saw what happened in Libya. We saw what happened in Iraq. We've seen what's happening in Afghanistan. Do we have a plan to make sure that somebody who is better than the current monster who's there is going to be in power? And the answer has been, in all of those instances, not very good, where what you have seen is ISIS propagate throughout the region. What you have seen is that these secular leaders are actually being replaced by people that are even worse than they are. And think about that. I'm not defending Assad in any way.
No, and you're right. When you trade monsters for monsters, you still have monsters.
You still have monsters. So the question is, are we going to have a monster who's actually going to become a national security threat to the United States?
Now, speaking
somebody
of...
Sorry.
You got some saber rattling going on in North Korea. A lot of posturing, a lot of saber rattling. The U.S. has responded by sending very visible military ships to the South Korea area for war games, so-called war games. Been a lot of posturing going back and forth between the United States and Russia. What should happen here, and what do you think will happen?
Well, I don't know that I can tell you what should happen. I'm not an expert in the region, so I'll just start with that. But I do see some really good signs where the president is working with China. The president is trying to work with Russia. But I think that this weekend with China, which is a good weekend with the president of China, I think they had some good conversations. Again, I believe the president even had a conversation just last night with the president of China. So I think we're doing the right things. I think that the engagement with the leaders in the region is good. I'm just not going to, you know, try to tell you something that I'm not an expert on. I don't know exactly what should be happening in the region.
As a member of the Freedom Caucus, you were obviously one of the people that wasn't crazy about the changes that were proposed to be made to Obamacare. Can you tell us exactly what you would have liked to have seen, and how did that feel to be called out by the president?
So So first, I want to see a repeal of Obamacare. And the bill that we had before us was not a repeal of Obamacare. There's a lot of people who are mad at me because I didn't repeal Obamacare. Well, I can tell you this right now. If we would have passed that bill, we wouldn't have repealed Obamacare. In fact, what happens with that bill is that all the regulations that make healthcare more expensive, that 90% of your audience is paying more for their healthcare, for their health insurance, for their deductibles, all the things that make those costs higher, we were not repealing in that bill. So the Freedom Caucus, and you know, and myself as one of the leaders of the Freedom Caucus, what we were trying to do is to actually keep the promise that we made to the American people, that we were going to repeal the insurance regulations that were making health insurance more costly, and we were going to replace it with patient-centered health care. The bill that was before the House did not do that, and we fought hard to do that, and I'm proud that we were able to make sure that that bill didn't go into effect.
Are you optimistic about it happening soon?
Absolutely. I'm optimistic that we can come together and we can work together and actually keep the promises that we made. We have a group of people in the House, unfortunately, that do not want to repeal Obamacare. They campaigned on it for 7 years. They told the American people that they wanted to repeal Obamacare, but when it came down to actually doing it, they don't want to do it. And I think that's really the story that's not being told. These are people who don't want to get rid of the regulations, don't want to get rid of the taxes, don't want to get rid of the things that Obamacare is doing that is hurting, and they're actually trying to create what I call Obamacare light, which is just – you know, they're calling it something else, and it does pretty much all the things that Obamacare did.
Reminds me of Syria, trading monsters for monsters, right?
Exactly, exactly.
These monsters are wearing white coats, though, I guess, and masks. So we have that. What's next for you? What else is on your front burner right now?
You know, it's just good to be in the state. We're going to have a lot of meetings, meeting with people, and we do have to get – don't get me wrong. We have to get an Obamacare replacement done. I think it would be a mistake for us to move on. And we were – you know, at the same time that we defeated the bill, we were pretty loud in saying that we can't just move on and go to the next thing. We actually have to find a way where we can get 216 Republicans in the House to vote for a bill that repeals Obamacare and replaces it. We're going to be doing tax reform. We have to fund the government here by the end of the year, and I hope that's going to be an easier process than it's been in the past because we now have a president that we can work with. So I'm very optimistic about the things that are happening. Look at what happened on the Supreme Court nomination. Look at all the regulations we're getting rid of. I actually think the Republicans are having a very good first 100 days in spite of what the media is saying. It's just there are some things that are difficult. You know, it's difficult to repeal a terrible bill like Obamacare. It's difficult to do tax reform that Congress has been trying to do for 30 years. All those things are difficult, but it doesn't mean that they're impossible.
Well, based on what the media is saying, now you remember 2010, obviously, you were one of the ones who got into Congress, you know, the Tea Party movement and all that. And it was one of the biggest shifts in Congress in history. And it happened 2 years after a president was elected. If some of these things that the Republicans want to get done don't get done by 2018, is there any chance that'll be backward?
I think it could hurt. I think if we don't pass a repeal of Obamacare, I think that would have a tremendous effect on what happens with the elections. I still think it's going to be difficult for them. I mean, look at what happened last night. It was the only game in town. Last night there was an election in Kansas. It was the only game in town. All the Democrats in the United States put all of their efforts into that, and they weren't able to be successful. There's going to be a race, I think, this Saturday also in Georgia. I don't put too much stock into the results of these single races because it's very difficult to make an assessment about the future with single races. But I think the Democrats are going to have a hard time trying to take back the House. However, if we don't do anything over the next 2 years, then it's going to be very difficult for us to show the American people that we deserve to be in power for the next 2 years.
Congressman, thanks for spending some time with us this morning. We know you're a busy man. We're going to turn you loose. Thanks once again.
Okay, great to be on your show. Have a wonderful day.
All right, thanks. First District Congressman Raul Labrador, KBOI News Time 918.
This is Idaho Talks Live. Today at 10, listen to Rush on 670 KBOI.
KBOI Rewards Code Meeting, M-E-E-T-I-N-G, meeting. Go to 670KBOI.com, enter meeting, and earn today's 5,000 rewards points. That's simple. Can't make it any easier than that.
Well, we had a, I think, an interesting 10 to 12 minutes or so with Congressman Labrador.
Yeah, and more or less the same. You know, he's obviously kind of taking a party line on a lot of things, Gorsuch and and all of the other stuff. But he's...
Not everything.
Not everything.
I mean, obviously not everything, because he's part of the Freedom Caucus.
Exactly.
I like the fact that he said that we're probably going... Well, I mean, it sounded like a pun when he said we're going to have some boos. What he means is that there will be people who are at the town hall meetings that come there to boo. And there will be people there, I'm sure, that come there to cheer. And that'll be basically, you know, Republicans and Democrats. That'll be the difference. But he didn't downplay that. A lot of the congressmen who have been having town halls and have had people show up and boo say, well, that's no big deal. It's just the Democrats. Well, it's also your constituents, and you do represent everybody once you're in office.
Yes.
And so they just say, well, you know, I'm not worried about the people who boo. And my, I guess my point is, if you have a town hall meeting and people say they don't like what you're doing, and you'd basically say, well, I don't care. Those weren't the people I'm really, you know, representing or talking about anyway. What's the point in having a town hall meeting?
Well, I think, though, that his point is that we listen. We want to see where our constituency is.
Well, you know, I would love it if he would have a town hall meeting, though, and you know, there would be some back and forth, people talking and, you know, discussing issues and stuff, instead of just the chanting that comes from the ones who say, well, I ran on this, and so this is what I'm going to do, even if you've changed your mind.
Yeah, true. Just mention this a little bit. We've talked about it off the air a couple of times today. Trump spokesman Sean Spicer has apologized again for comments likening Adolf Hitler to Syrian President Bashar Assad, calling them inexcusable and reprehensible. I got into a topic I shouldn't have, and I screwed up, Spicer told Greta Van Susteren, who's now with NBC. I hope people understand that we all make mistakes. I hope that I showed that I understand that I did that. I made a mistake. His apology kicked off a long-ranging interview with Van Susteren during an event at the Newseum. I've been there. Covering everything from anonymous sources to the White House Correspondents' Dinner. So, enough said, right? Is that the way you feel about it?
Yeah, I think so. I was just happy that he actually apologized without saying, if I offended anyone. He just said, oh, I shouldn't have said that. That was dumb. It's nice when people actually own up to something in Washington.
KBOI News Time, 9:26.
Remember, you are listening to Idaho Talks Live on 670 KBOI.
Top of the morning, Paul J. and Chris back. It's 9:37. Story I saw yesterday, we didn't have time to get to it. Chris has been looking at it this morning, wants to talk to us about it. And basically, it's a story of...
Well,
how does guilt?
Yeah, I mean,
when are you guilty of causing somebody else to do something?
Exactly, if ever, And I don't know. It's one of those death by misadventure stories where, like, I didn't mean for this to happen, but it happened anyway. And from the Washington Post this morning, they talk about Tyson Benz. Now, Tyson Benz, an 11-year-old boy from the Upper Peninsula in Michigan, what they call the UP, the upper part that's separated. He was in his room, and he was getting text messages from somebody saying that somebody else he knew, a 13-year-old girl, had committed suicide. And he took this seriously, and he hanged himself. But it wasn't true. And in fact, it was the 13-year-old girl texting him, pretending to be somebody else. Basically, she was pranking him or something. And the boy, for reasons that aren't completely clear, believed it and then killed himself within 2 hours of receiving the news.
The girl was his girlfriend, if you will.
Yeah.
He was 11. She was 13. And she is now facing criminal charges, according to Marquette County prosecuting attorney Mac Weiss.
Mm-hmm.
Said the girl posed as someone else when she faked her own death during a text conversation with Tyson.
Right.
The boy, for reasons still unclear, believed it and killed himself within 2 hours of receiving the message. And the question want to ask is what is she guilty of and is she guilty?
Yeah, is she guilty? She didn't tell him to kill himself. She didn't make him kill himself. Something she said that turned out not to be true, that was probably in jest or for whatever reason. I don't know. I don't pretend to understand 13-year-old girls. I didn't then. I don't now. However, was she at fault for what he did? I mean, should that have been anticipated? And, I don't know. I don't necessarily think so. Now, what we said, he said the impact that it had on the boy, there's a logical connection. And that's about as far as I'd go. Yes, there's a connection. Obviously, he was sad about that. That's why he did it. And there's also some, if one kid does something like they used to ask, if Johnny jumped off the bridge, would you jump off the bridge? And you think, well, no.
No, but if Janie jumped off the bridge and she was my girlfriend, maybe I would.
The girl's name was not released because she's 13 years old. The boy's name was released because he's deceased. But she's been charged with malicious use of telecommunication service, which is punishable by up to 6 months in juvie, and also using a computer to commit a crime, which can carry up to a year. Both are actually misdemeanor charges, but you can go to juvenile hall for some time for them.
Yeah.
She could be there, 18 months or not at all, depending on the judge she gets.
Yeah.
But, okay, so she...
They say the kid was happy on the day it happened until he got the text.
Yeah. I don't know that she could have necessarily anticipated that, though. Yeah, I mean, and the thing is, kids that age, that's basically, 11, 12, that's 6th, 7th, 8th grade, maybe. And they do a lot of goofy stuff and tease each other, and some of them, they bully each other, and there's all sorts of things that happen with kids like that.
Mm-hmm.
But if one of them tricks another one and the other one takes it way too seriously and does something terrible like kills himself, how much liability does the first one have?
I don't know.
Yeah.
It's tough.
It is very tough. Plus we're talking.
She's 13.
Yeah, we're also talking about juveniles. This isn't a 40-year-old writing to an 11-year-old and saying something terrible and having the 11-year-old kill himself. And it wasn't particularly bullying. It was a lie, but it wasn't one of those things where they said, why don't you kill yourself? You're terrible. Nobody likes you. You're going to have a terrible life, Baba, like they've done to some of those girls and the ones who tended to egg them into killing themselves. However, it was suggested that they do that. Those ones have been sent to jail for some time.
Yeah, so this kid hung himself and was basically dead when his mother found him.
Yeah.
She called 911. The ambulance came and they revived him. They revived him and he was hospitalized for 3 weeks before he died on April 4th.
Apparently he was probably too far gone to recover completely by
blood
that. No blood to the brain, no oxygen, that sort of thing.
And a good-looking kid, and not that that matters at all, but very involved in everything. The night he died, his mother said he was texting and talking on Snapchat with a 13-year-old girl who was using someone else's account when she told Tyson that his girlfriend had died. No one warned her son that it was a prank. She used her friend's account to make it even more proof that she died. He was so innocent, so kind-hearted, and so naive, he completely believed her and took his own life.
Yeah.
Romeo and Juliet.
People say, when the president hears something, they would like him to get a second source before he repeats it to other people.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're an 11-year-old kid, you might not think of something like that. I mean, if you trust somebody or, you get the word from them about something terrible and you think it happened. However, still, Is it her fault how he reacted?
Does it fall
now?
Under...
he wouldn't have had anything to react to if she hadn't done that.
True,
but you know, I'm thinking when I was 11, if somebody had told me that, I would have just said no way. Now, of course, we didn't have texting; it would have had to been on the phone or in person.
Yeah, cyberbullying here?
I don't know.
I don't either.
I don't know if that's cyberbullying. Now, somebody had written in to talk about this at one point and said, well, you know, first of all, you should monitor what your children are doing on the internet at that age, for sure.
No question. You can't do it 24/7.
Though. Okay, that's true. But, you know, try to have at least some control, if you can, over what's going on.
Yep.
Without, you know, necessarily, you know, having a fascist household, unless that's the way you do things.
Yeah, Natalie always was on her computer in the family.
Yeah, in full view of you guys.
Yeah.
And she wasn't, you know, messing around anyway. No. But somebody said, you know, here are some other headlines that relate to this. But all three of the headlines that relate to it, according to this person, are about cyberbullying. That's actual cyberbullying, like somebody calling up and saying, you know, nobody likes you, go kill yourself, all that sort of thing. And I'm just wondering, is this the same thing? This was more or less a prank that went very wrong, I think. But and a 13-year-old prank is different than, you know, like an adult prank.
Yeah.
You know, an adult prank goes very wrong and you get a manslaughter charge. But I don't know about a 13-year-old.
And it's funny how they gather stats.
Mm-hmm.
1 in 5 students in the last school year that they have results for, 2012-13.
Yeah.
Reported being bullied either through insults,
rumors, or
physical harm.
Why didn't the other four report theirs? Because not 1 in 5 kids gets bullied. It's more like about 4 in 5 or sometimes 5 in 5. A lot of times the ones who are bullies are bullies because they were bullied.
According to a 2015 report by the U.S. Department of Education, cyberbullying is less frequent and affected 1 in 14 students.
Hmm.
Now, it's been my indication that people, that almost everybody gets bullied.
Let me just say this. Even as adults in the last 10 years, you and I have been cyberbullied.
No question. Oh, we get bullied.
I mean,
people send us bad stuff.
Well, and people created websites.
Really bad stuff.
People created websites because once we said something they didn't agree with.
Mm-hmm. We get it all the time.
Right.
Part of the
but
job.
But on the other hand, that is. And you know, we took a job where we're in the public, well, not eye, but ear, definitely.
Yeah.
So we asked for something like this. However, you know, the kid didn't.
No.
But again, how at fault is the other person? You know, he acted on wrong information. She gave him wrong information. She knew it was wrong information, but I don't know that she could have predicted.
And posed as someone else.
I don't know that she could have predicted he would actually kill himself.
Oh, I'm sure she didn't think he would. I would like to think she didn't think he would.
And you know, for the record, very few 11-year-olds actually do. It's usually the older teenagers who have gone through puberty.
Yeah.
Or are going through it, or are having a really bad time of it.
KBOI News Time, 9:46.
You're listening to Idaho Talks Live with Paul, Jay, and Chris. Rush Limbaugh comes up at 10 on 670 KBOI.
KBOI News Time is 9:52 on a Wednesday morning. Jim of Boise wants to chime in on something we talked about a little bit.
Hello?
Yeah, hi there. I got a weird-looking thing here that I got you locked in, but you're on, Jim.
Yeah, about old Spicer?
Yeah.
Anyway, everybody uses, since Hitler, everybody uses Hitler as a benchmark. They use it too much. Some people consider Trump a Hitler, but I think everybody really knew what Spicer was talking about. It's a given that Hitler used gas in the gas chambers.
No question.
I mean, that's obviously bad. Everybody agrees with that, except one guy in Iran at one point.
Yeah.
But anyway, I mean, that's what he was talking about. The Germans used gas. World War One. It was banned and supposedly didn't use it after that. That's what he was talking about. Much ado about nothing. I mean,
yeah.
Obviously.
No chemical bombs.
No. Yeah, I mean, you know, the gas chambers were a given, but I mean, that's a different thing. So.
Yeah. Does that worry you that he would misspeak like that, or is that okay because he's
no.
a human being?
No. I mean, you know, maybe he should have said when he made his comment on the battlefield.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably. You know. Probably should have said that.
Or should have made some other comment.
Yeah. But, I mean, you know, to think people are that sensitive and miss what he's talking about.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, again, comparing anybody to Hitler, I mean, that used too much.
I agree with that. It's kind of cliche at this point. But I didn't understand necessarily why Jewish groups were calling him out on this, simply because his point was to say that this Assad is terrible and also Hitler was terrible, which I know they agree with.
Right.
Okay, I know they agree with the Hitler part, obviously. And then there are people who don't like Trump who say, well, you know, Spicer should resign. Well, if you don't like Trump and you think Spicer's doing a bad job, why should he resign?
Well, you know, all this stuff with social media, and you were talking about that suicide thing, you
right.
know, it's really, really sad. But, I mean, all this this social media, anybody, anywhere that does anything, the world knows about it. I mean, it's really not good.
No.
So, anyway, take care of y'all.
All right, mm-hmm. thanks.
Bye-bye.
And there are a lot of, this thing is locked up on me. There you go.
Yeah. Yeah,
there are really a lot of problems with social media. I just, we were talking about the suicide story, I read a thing of another 12-year-old girl committed suicide on camera while, whatever, hung herself.
Yeah.
And it was 20 minutes long, and it stayed on the internet for 2 weeks.
Yeah. Well,
finally took it down.
Again, I think in that case, most people thought it was a gag of some sort, you know?
It didn't look like a gag. According to people who saw it,
yeah,
I didn't see it.
That's true.
Yeah. All right, it's 9:55, Idaho Talks Live, wrapping up a Wednesday edition. See you bright and early tomorrow morning with Idaho's First Morning News. Have a good one.